don't believe the hype.
Tune in to hear a special day of coverage from the KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Department on Thursday, September 11th. Hear various opinions on a central theme, September 11th, 2 years and 2 wars later.
At 6 p.m. will be Gudarz Ekdadari, host of Voices of the Middle East. With the help of Gabrielle Ross, the program will look at the impacts of 9/11 on Middle Eastern communities in the U.S., harassments, intimidations, and hate crimes against Muslim and Middle East communities will be examined.
At 7, the Feminista Factor's Carol Scholl has an interview with Nerman El Mufti, the co-director of Occupation Watch Center. She'll also speak with Nobel Peace laureates Jody Williams and Ariad Corrigan McGuire, as well as with Military Family Speak Out.
At 7:30, The Underground's Clifton Barnhart will take a look at how the perception of America has changed in the eyes of young people from other countries. We'll also have a special report from Circle A Radio at 8 o'clock.
And at 8:30, Kevin Card of Labor Radio will explore the health problems of those exposed to toxic fumes which hung over Manhattan in the days following the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center.
That's this Thursday evening between 6 and 9, here on KBOO Community Radio. Don't believe the hype.
This is KBOO's The Voice of the Middle East. صوت الشرق الأوسط من إذاعة كيبو و صدای خبر میانه از رادیو KBOO.
طلوا حبابنا طلوا نسيت يا ولد بين ربوعنا خلوا تحت السهرات جوا وطلوا حبابنا طلوا نسيت يا ولد بين ربوعنا خلوا غنينا وعلى المياه لاينا على أقصى ما خلو من زهد الطير الشاي نحن حكايات في بال منا نغمات.
Good evening and welcome to another installment of the Voices of the Middle East. This is Gudarz Ekdadari, your host. With this show, my program enters the third year of airing on KBOO. It was very short after 9/11 that I started this program on KBOO. So it is pretty much a anniversary of many things, and remembering that day, the 9/11 and the tragedy of 9/11 and what happened after that, really is tremendous when you look at it. It's more than just 2 years. It's way longer than that. The impact on Muslim and Middle Eastern community in this country is tremendous. The impact on the Middle East and people in that region is phenomenal. We have had two wars in two different countries in the region, and there are lots of the stresses and basically tensions that have risen after 9/11. Tonight we will have a special program, and my co-host tonight is Gabrielle Ross. She is a diversity trainer and a specialist with the Evergreen School District, and also a KB volunteer and producer. Welcome to the show, Gabby.
Good evening.
We are having a special program tonight put together to basically deal and try to narrate what happened to Middle Eastern community. And also we have a special interview with regard to intimidations and harassment of scholars and professors of Middle East studies, which I believe is also part of the whole picture that is happening. So without further ado, we'll go to a little piece of music, and then after that I'll be back and introduce my other guest.
Take it over. Take it over. Drink it dead. Hit the road dead.
Yeah, the little piece of music that you heard was from Iron Sheik. These are a Palestinian group from Southern California, and the CD called Iron Sheik. One of the issues that happened after 9/11, it gave ground and space for right-wing activists in the administration and also in a scholar space. One of the presentation of that was activity by right-wing scholars and their supporters, such as Lynn Cheney, wife of Vice President, with trying to create watchdogs that would intimidate, basically, the professors of Middle East studies all over the country. One of the organization was Middle East Forum, a organization out of Philadelphia, and the chair of that group, the director, is Daniel Pipes, who was recently appointed by using a recess authority that president has to the U.S. Peace Institute, and because, I mean, he could not get approved by Senate because there was lots of objection to it. One of the things that this organization did is to put up a website called Campus Watch, and as one of their first step, they put the name of 8 professors in different universities in the country, and asked their students and their colleagues to report on them, and basically picked their article or their papers and tried to do a McCarthyism in the university and the scholar system and universities in the U.S., which was really objected by many other, including 180 other professors. They all wrote to Campus Watch and asked their name to be added to the list of 8. And surprisingly, Campus Watch and Daniel Pipes put all those 180 people online and called them the apologetic professors of Middle East Studies. One of the 8 professors who was on this list is Professor Juan Cole. He's a professor of Middle East History at University of Michigan, and I interviewed him regarding this subject.
I would like first to welcome Professor Cole to this program, and let me ask you to give us a little background on what Campus Watch is doing and what is the Middle East Forum, the parent organization for this website.
Well, the Middle East Forum is a rather murky organization. It's not entirely clear what it is. Many of these right-wing think tanks are set up with monetary contributions from wealthy donors. If they're not of a certain size, then they don't have to reveal where the sources of the money are coming from. It's clear that the Middle East Forum has an ideological orientation towards the political far right of American politics, and also that it seems to give unstinting support to the policies of the Likud party in Israel.
After the Campus Watch started, they put a list of, I believe, 8 people, and one of them were yourself. What was the criteria for them to do that?
Well, this is their criteria for what academics on U.S. campuses need to be watched are as murky as their own funding and origins. Why in the world they named the people they did is completely unclear. It appears to be that they focused on persons who had been critical of Likud party politics and their policies in the West Bank and Gaza. However, there were some members of the group that they named that hadn't been particularly vocal or active on that front. I think all of the people they named were fairly prominent in academic study of the Middle East, and it appears to be that one of the things they wanted to do was to simply attack the Middle East studies field.
One of the previous, attempt in that regard was from Martin Kramer. Is that correct?
Yes, Martin Kramer is an American slash Israeli who, for some time after he did a Princeton PhD in the Middle East, went off to head the Dayan Center in Tel Aviv, was a consultant to Israeli military and intelligence agencies on Middle Eastern affairs, wrote about the Hezbollah, and he came back to the United States a couple of years ago. The rumors that I heard was that he had been dismissed from his post because the Israeli military felt that he had done poorly in predicting challenges and crises in the Middle East. And then he wrote this book for the pro-Israeli Washington Institute for Near East Policy, which was published by this foundation, which attacked the Middle East studies field in the United States and accused it of doing poorly in predicting crises and challenges in the Middle East. I believe the connection may be to Lynn Cheney, the wife of Vice President Cheney. She also had been involved in a right-wing group that issued a list of academics who she claimed were unpatriotic and needed to be watched. But the criteria for these watch groups, and they masquerade as American patriotism, and they claim that the scholars they attack are unpatriotic in some way. But actually, they identify patriotism as support of particular policies of particular parties and governments. So the Middle East Forum of Daniel Pipes seems to think that if you don't support all the policies of George W. Bush and of Ariel Sharon, then you're an unpatriotic American. And Lynn Cheney seems to feel similarly. But of course, in the United States, you can love your country but disagree with the policy of its government and of the governments of its allies. And it seems to me that this is an essential aspect of American patriotism that the far-right wing of American politics has never understood.
In effect, what did Campus Watch do for the like a past year, as you have noticed with your teachings and courses at the University of Michigan?
Initially, when they named me as someone who needed to be watched, there were hackers out there who agreed with their politics who then targeted me for internet harassment of various sorts. They would set up email robots to send me 1,000 messages a day to paralyze my email, or they would send out messages to random email addresses pretending to be from me and including quite distasteful sorts of messages. But of course, anyone who knew anything could look at the header of the email and see where it really came from and see that it was counterfeit. And the University of Michigan Internet Technology Division worked with the FBI and other agencies to try to track these people down and stop them. For the last 6 months, that kind of activity has ceased and died off. And it never really affected me very much to begin with because I'm savvy enough about email and so forth that I could just set filters and filter out all of the noise. And I'm not famous enough so that it matters whether people get emails pretending to be from me. No one knows who I am to begin with, so they just assume it's spam and delete it. So I would say that it was a minor annoyance, but it hasn't had any real negative effects on me as a scholar or as a person. I mean, I think the whole thing is odious. It's a form of McCarthyism, but I shouldn't also give it very much importance. I can track how many people come to my weblog, juancole.com, from Campus Watch, and it's I would say, one or two a week. So their email or their webpage is not generating any kind of significant traffic.
But I believe they have a form on their website for students and whoever attends your class or, other people's class as well, to report what they see and what they hear. Is that correct?
Well, initially they had put up a dossier on each of the 8 scholars that they named, and they had planned to name many more academics, and they did attach to that what they call a dossier, an email JavaScript form that would allow students, colleagues, street people, and others who saw you to inform on you to them. They said that they would archive the comments they got, or they would put them up on the web. However, there was such a hue and cry among all strata of Americans about this technique of monitoring and surveillance in order to intimidate, that they were forced to take down the individual dossiers and to replace them with sites really that focused on individual campuses rather than individual scholars. So I think there is still a form up for people at Michigan who can complain to them about Ariel Sharon's policies being criticized, but I can't imagine that very many people bother with that, and they've been forced by the public outcry to back off. And in fact, all of this McCarthyism has backfired on them, because President Bush had wanted to appoint Daniel Pipes, the head of the Middle East Forum, to the United States Institute for Peace, and the appointment was blocked in the Senate because Ted Kennedy and Tom Harkin and other senators were aware of Pipes' activities and deeply disapproved. And so Bush ultimately had to make the appointment as a recess appointment. It was only for 18 months rather than for 4 years, and it was attended with a good deal of scandal. I think the message to people like Pipes is that if you want to be mainstreamed and you want to be named to things like the United States Institute for Peace, which is a government organization, then you can't behave in these outrageous ways of bullying people and attempting to intimidate them into ceasing to criticize the policies that you favor.
Is there any difference in how they treat professors and scholars, whether they are in fact from Middle East or they treat them the same way they treated you?
Pipes, so Daniel Pipes, who's the head of the Middle East Forum, has openly said that he views the enfranchisement of Muslim Americans as a threat to the Jewish community of the United States. Tom Harkin, the senator from Iowa, in his speech about all this on the Senate floor, said that he was appalled that Mr. Pipes would wish to deny the right to vote to Muslim Americans, because that's what enfranchisement would mean. And it's simply not the case, of course, that Muslim Americans being able to vote endangers the Jewish community. In fact, I know for in many instances of here in Detroit, of cooperation between the Muslim American and the Jewish communities on matters of legislation and law that are important to both of them. They're both minorities. So there is a kind of a subtext that has the effect of racism, whether it's racism itself is for others to decide, in many of Mr. Pipes' statements.
In your opinion, what is the relation between these kind of activities and neoconservatives' foreign policy?
Well, I think both activities feed off of one another. The neoconservatives are a small group of intellectuals, had been most of them Scoop Jackson Democrats back in the 60s and 70s. They were Cold Warriors. And now have moved to the far right, and they want to pursue active policies of reshaping the Middle East in accordance with their policy objectives. And they want to be able to do so without being criticized for it by people who know more about the Middle East than they do. And so marginalizing the academics who professionally study the Middle East is part and parcel of their general intolerance of anyone who disagrees with their policies. I mean, the French pointed out last spring that there's not good proof that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction or could use them quickly or easily against the West, and the French turned out to be perfectly correct. Yet the response of neoconservatives like Paul Wolfowitz to French criticism was to vilify the French, to call them cowards and unfaithful allies and traitors, and to threaten them with economic sanctions and to try to hurt their tourist industry. What kind of a foreign policy is that, based on threats and bullying and sanctions?
Well, thank you very much. I was speaking with Professor Juan Cole, Professor of History at the University of Michigan, on a special program for 2 years and 2 wars after 9/11. Thank you very much, Dr. Cole.
You're very welcome.
Thanks.